Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another program of Open Government Radio. I'm Steve Buckley, your host, and today is February 9th, 2010. And if you are listening over the internet live, or even if you're listening to this later on the archive feature, then you can still follow along with what we're going to be talking about today by also opening a new window, if you're following on computer. The website to follow along is ustransparency.com, and that is my blog. And that way we can all, hop around with our guests and talk about the different things that are going on, you can follow along with the URLs, the web addresses that are at ustransparency.com for today's show. And for those who are just listening, perhaps on the phone or on their PDA or whatever, then you can still, I'll try to make it so we don't lose you, and you can still follow along with what's going on. So, anyway, as if you can see from the description of today's show, we're going to talk about the Open Government Directive Workshop, which will be next week on February 17th, and how to get into that, how to apply, I guess, to attend that. A little different than the past two workshops. This is workshop number three, actually, and it's being hosted, or we have a number of partners, including the General Services Administration this time. So, and the other thing that we'll be talking about today is the deliverables that were supposed to be delivered, the things that were supposed to happen from the February 6th deadline this past Saturday, actually, when Washington, D.C. got buried in snow, but apparently the servers stayed up wherever they are, and things went ahead as far as the various federal agencies opening up their various open government pages dedicated to open government, along with links to a citizen engagement tool using, I think except for one, all of them are using IdeaScale, which is something that was used last summer by the White House with their Open Government Dialogue. And the other thing is the Open Government Dashboard, which was set up by the White House also on Saturday to track progress with respect to open government in the federal agencies, but also including, apparently, some of the different parts of the Executive Office of the President, which is also a federal agency. So now that we can see that, the first person I want to bring on to the show is Chris Jones from, people may know him as Source POV, and I'm going to click that, and we'll see. Are you there, Chris?
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Good, good. We haven't gotten any snow up here in New England. That last storm just came up to New York and took a right-hand turn and just went right out to sea, and we did not get an inch. So, but maybe not this time. I guess there's another storm that's starting, I guess, or maybe it's already. You're in North Carolina, right?
Yeah, we're missing the snow this time around. I heard there might be another wave. Did I hear 10 inches expected in D.C. on the way, or is that a false rumor?
Yeah. They as we speak, federal government, in anticipation of that snow, the federal government is closed today as well as it was closed yesterday. So I'm hoping that perhaps some people are still needing their open government fix. And even though they're at home or driving around in the snow or whatever they're doing, that they'll call in, and I do know at least one other person who I spoke to said they were going to call in and listen, and which is your friend Andy Krzmarczyk from Suvalu. So, I believe he's on the line, but before we bring him in, I wanted to talk about I know you are one of the team leaders with the Open Government Directive workshop that's going to be going on next Wednesday, the 17th, and I believe that, just for those people who are trying to figure out how next week's shaping up, I believe, yes, that next Monday is a day off as well for the federal government, maybe not because of snow, but because of the federal holiday. So for those of you who just wanted to, I thought it was going to be the following week, but somebody told me it was the 15th, third Monday. So just throwing that out there for people who are setting up their calendar. But I did put a link at U.S. Transparency as far as how people can find out more about the Open Government Directive workshop. This time it's going to be different, I understand, than, well, I know, because I'm one of the co-organizers, but Lucas Gioffi was not able to come with us on the program today, and he's been the real primary organizer for the workshop series. But so you're his stand-in, but as it is, I'll let you tell us some more about how this workshop is different than the previous workshops.
Well, don't set false expectations here. I'm no stand-in for Lucas, but I have talked to him a couple times, so I know a bit about what's going on. I know there's a potential of, I guess there's room for up to 120 folks at this workshop, but we're prepared to have fewer. Obviously, the snow is impacting that to a degree. But Lucas and I and others, I think, feel to be successful with, you know, the number we have signed up now, which I think is around between 25 and 30. But they are asking folks to go on to GovLoop and kind of put in an explanation as to, you know, how they can add value. Because really, we've had a problem, I guess, in the past with a lot of folks and trying to get some more focus here and really to drive some real engagement in the brainstorm around, you know, specifically what can be done in the plan for each agency, not just to have checklists or bullets or yeah, we're doing stuff, but to really put some meaning, some value into that, and also make sure there's a viability. So the breakout group that I'm going to be facilitating, that's going to be our focus, not just to brainstorm ideas, but also to make sure that anything we come up with as a template for agencies to embrace has kind of value and viability baked into it. And what does that mean? How can that be measured? How can that be managed over time? Those are all, you know, challenges we're taking on.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, and if people, for those who are actually sitting in front of a computer now, either synchronously or asynchronously, if they're looking, I put up the links to today's show on ustransparency.com. So are you looking at those links there just to make sure we're on the same screen?
Well, there's so many links nowadays. I need to,
yeah.
I need a dashboard for the dashboards, right? There's so
yeah.
many sites that we want to keep up with.
Well, that's, I guess, what I'm trying to do. So if you go to US Transparency, I just want to make sure as we bring people along that we're both looking at the same links.
Yes, I see it there now, Steve. USTransparency.com will bring up a series of links to the playbook, the workshop
right.
itself.
So let's
links go back to GovLoop, which is great because GovLoop has a lot of these links as well. Did you say Andy's going to be coming online?
In a while. But let's just take people with us for a second to one of these links. Like, see where it says February Open Government Directive Workshop.
Right.
Okay. So if people follow us there. I'm trying to lead people, I guess, to the point where they can actually figure out how to sign up and get more involved. So, and then of course brings us when you get to that page. There, about halfway down, there's how to RSVP.
Right.
And basically what it, rather than, we had been using something called Eventbrite before, but this is different now. There's a link there to the very first link under how to RSVP says, if you are interested in participating, please join this discussion on GovLoop by February 9th or 10th, which is tomorrow. So those of you who are listening to this and want to jump into this and you're on an open government team, and hopefully you're already set up on GovLoop, but if you're not, then this is probably a very good time to learn what GovLoop is all about, is to follow that link where it says, please first join this discussion on GovLoop. So that is the way where you would go ahead, and I believe people tell something about themselves. Does Chris, how did you get
right,
team leader?
Look, the team had requested 3 to 5 sentences, a short paragraph on, you know, kind of your role within federal agency. It's not restricted specifically to agencies. I think that is the desire, of course, as folks that are working on the open government directive plans. You know, those folks are generally speaking, you know, agency folks. There are obviously some consultants and contractors that are helping in that cause, and I do believe those folks are more than welcome to participate. But they are asking for folks to submit just a couple of sentences as to, you know, what value they could add, you know, with their perspective on it, and really just to try, like I said, to kind of raise the bar on levels of engagement and to really focus in not just on, you know, asking questions, but trying to drive some answers as to, you know, how do we breathe life into the OGD plan deliverables and then make sure they're going to be viable.
Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that it won't be so much like the last workshop at the Department of Transportation back on January 11th was presentations in the morning and breakout sessions, which were really kind of just, I don't say BS sessions, but open discussion type things about what needed to be done or, you know, questions raised and so forth. And this is going to be more focused about actually rolling up the sleeves and trying to figure out what the next steps would be. Is that a fair...
In fact, let me address a point there, because I do know one of the tweets that I saw referenced, you know, fairly heavily after that first workshop, or at least the last workshop, whichever, I've lost track of the count here. I tracked it as number 2. You're saying this is number 3 coming up, but... at the DOT, there were, you know, quite a few folks. It was a day-long session. I was plugged in via, you know, electronically, virtually to monitor. But one of the comments I heard heavily was there were more questions than answers. And I think that was probably fair.
Mm-hmm.
It was early in the process, and there were lots of questions, and there weren't as many answers. I do think that the event organizers, both folks at GSA, I've heard mention of OMB and some of the folks providing oversight to the OGD program, and certainly Lucas and the core team that you're on, the goal is to really get to those answers. So, sure, you know, questions early, that was heard, and this session is really more about the answers and trying to drive, you know, solutions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The idea is that it's a little bit harder to get in to it. I mean, although I'm sure there's plenty of space, but the idea is that we want to make sure it's not that perhaps this time there's a higher quotient of federal employees who are on the open government teams who are than say people who are outside the government like you and I. Although
right,
it would be good to have a diversity, of course, to have those people from the inside and the outside have a more less of an echo chamber, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Here's one of the factors. I think it's not just the diversity, which is absolutely critical. You know, you want those diverse perspectives, and, of course, the agencies have a variety of different missions, some of which are citizen-facing, some are not. So that diversity is important, but also getting folks who really intend to engage and kind of roll up their sleeves and put some issues out on the table, you know, talk about cultural resistance, talk about technology assimilation. There's a lot of tough issues here. Educating the public, educating citizens on what this all means. I mean, those are really important issues. And it's one thing to throw those out and say, yeah, these are problems, but it's quite a different thing to say, now, how are we going to address it? And I really feel like these sessions, regardless of the number, and in fact, Lucas shared with me a thought, which I think is really important. If we have 120 folks there, or if we have 20 folks there, if we have the right people there and the right brainstorm teams and the right mix of facilitators and folks that want to engage, we'll drive value from that. So this really isn't one of those events where the number of people that attend is going to drive a result. I think what's important is who attend. And those posts on GovLoop, again, the 3 to 5 sentences, you know, why you want to participate, that's your chance to convince Lucas and the organizers, folks like that, hey, I really want to come and try to, you know, drive some answers here and not just ask a bunch more questions. So I think it's a different mix, and I think regardless of the numbers that we're able to get by next week, I agree with Lucas. I think having the right people there and the right dynamics is really going to drive that value.
Yeah, well, so the bottom line, I guess, and we can talk more about this if we have time later, but I would encourage, and I'm certainly you are too, that people should go to that link, which will bring you to the GovLoop discussion, and then that will show you how to get more involved, because if you are on an open government team for a federal agency, this is definitely where you want to get in on, because it will not be too long before all these open government plans will have to be written. So don't put off that homework until the night before the test or whatever. So, which I know we all do. I'm a terrible or a very good procrastinator, I guess how you look at it myself. So I understand that. And as a former bureaucrat, I understand that,
Well, I'll play the set on deadline. That, so I'll keep quiet on that particular point. We'll go on.
Okay.
Is Andy coming online?
I was going to bring, let's see, I'm going to bring, first I want to bring my other person. I'm going to try to quickly go through the, let's see here. We had the, going back to the links that are on the Open Government Directive, let's see. I put down the other aspect I want to talk about today is the deliverables that came out on last Saturday, and that involved the open government pages and the also the link. Each federal agency was supposed to have a mechanism for involving the public in coming up with their open government plans, which, as we just said, coming out actually in, I believe it's April 6th. So this is kind of the same thing that happened last summer where they said, hey, you people out there outside the government, what do you think we should do about improving the way we include people as far as transparency, participation, and collaboration. And I think I had a message that I tried to use. I know Tim Bonneman. There's a link there for Tim Bonneman's blog post about all these federal agencies and how to track, you know, how many ideas they're getting, how many comments there are on each idea, and so forth. The thing is that Tim likes to use Skype, and I tried to set up my Skype this morning, and I'm not sure if I can do it at the same time that I'm using a telephone. So Tim sent me, I have a little note here that Tim says he's listening, but I think the only way that I can patch him into this conversation is if he actually uses his telephone, plain old cell phone, I guess, or whatever it is. So, and I can tell when he comes in if he wants to call in to the phone number. And for those who are listening and want to call in, that phone number, again, is 917-388-4210. And that's, if you weren't able to write that down, the... it's located at opengovradio.com. You'll see all the information there for calling in. And that looks like him now. So we're switching over to this. What I'm going to do is if I pull in more people, I'm going to try something different from other radio shows, other shows that I've done. is that I may, rather than having three people or four people trying to talk at the same time, I'm going to mute people and turn to people and ask for them. So if you're talking on the phone and nobody's paying attention to what you're saying, it's probably because I've muted you. So let me see if I can pull in. So I'm going to, for right now, Chris, I'm just going to mute you and pull that in. But, you know, everybody stay there who's listening, and we'll go from, and I'll just make sure that everybody gets a chance to say something. So just a new approach that I'm going to take. So, okay, Chris, with that?
I'll be here.
Okay. And we're muting him. No, there we go. And now we're, Tim Bonneman, are you there?
Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Good, how are you doing out there? No snow out there, is there? Just mudslides?
Nah, we're good. It's just rainy season on the West Coast.
Right, you're all the mudslides are down south in L.A., right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Very good. Well, as I said a little while ago, you've been very involved in following online collaboration and different types of platforms and so forth and so on, and people who would be, if they don't know already, I put a link there on my blog on ustransparency.com, and they can see that link to your posting on, I have it listed as Tim Bonneman's blog post about federal agencies' citizen engagement tool. It's about the fourth link down. And so that way they can actually read what it is, you know, that they can follow that on. But you want to, for those who aren't in front of a computer right now, can you give us a little sense of what you're trying to say? Go ahead.
Yeah, so last year when they first did the Open Government Dialogue back in May and June of last year, I did a little bit of tracking and tried to look at how that project was developing over time, and looking at some of the quantitative numbers, but also some of the qualitative things, how the dialogue was going, how well they were moderating, how people were feeling, and just the overall numbers, like how many ideas did they get, how many comments, how many votes, and such. And so I'm just doing the same thing this year with the 23, I think, total dialogues that are happening that are using IdeaScale. There are a few more that use other tools. And to make it a little more efficient, I posted this on GovLoop so that more people can chime in and post their insights. And just make it a little more of a group effort. And hopefully, once this, I understand this is going to last through March, and this current initiative, and
March,
so hopefully we'll get...
March 19th.
Yeah, hopefully we get a lot of interesting insights, and who knows, maybe that can even inform the still-to-be-designed dashboard that will at some point measure... The participation piece of the Open Government Directive.
Right. Well, that is something that we're going to talk with the next guest who will be calling in a short while, but having to do with measurement, because that's been a particular favorite of mine, you know, the idea that it's nice to have all these conferences and buzzwords flying here and there, and it's all very heady stuff, but when it comes right down to it, how do we know if we're having the effect that we want to have? And if we're not measuring that, then we might be, you know, not having any effect at all. But I'm looking here on your web blog, and is there a link? I know you basically took this posting and put it on GovLoop, right?
I posted it on GovLoop first, and then I just reposted it on my blog, so I have it there, too.
Is there a link here back to GovLoop? Because I know on GovLoop I saw you had a listing of all of the comments. You know, like this agency had this many ideas and this many comments.
Yeah, That is just on GovLoop. I'm not going to post those on both blogs. I'm just going to put all that data, the raw data, I'm just going to share on GovLoop.
Oh, okay. So if someone wants to, they'd have to find it on GovLoop before they. But that was a nice little addition to see how things were, you know, which agencies were getting more ideas and so forth. So I don't have a link to that right
there. I'm probably going to share like summaries once we get. I mean, it's still early. They just started on Saturday, so it's still kind of none of the data is really. It's just kind of warm up tracking. I guess it will be like a couple of weeks until we see some real interesting trends, but. Yeah, I'll probably share some summaries on my blog, but yeah, for the most part, just go to GovLoop and find my forum entry there. And if you come in, you know, if you come across anything interesting that indicates how well or how badly the agency is doing in trying out this stuff, then you just share it there, and we can all benefit from it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, then that kind of, like I said, segues into the idea of that there is the next link on, like I said, for people following on the. My blog post with the links on ustransparency.com. You can see the next link down is the Open Government Dashboard. And before I ask other people about this and who are on the line, what are your thoughts about the dashboard there? Do you have any?
Yeah, I think it's great that they're sorry. That's my. My first son in the background here. I'm kind of juggling. We just had a baby 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I'm juggling one, and he's live streaming in the back. So,
So
I think it's great that there was an interesting post on the Sunlight blog. I think it's great that they're really doing an iterative approach. It seems. I mean, this is a very static dashboard that's just doing nothing much than giving a binary, did they fulfill or. Yes. Hold on.
That's okay.
So it's a very kind of static thing, but there was an interesting post. The DC DC just launched a very cool dashboard that I think is Track, called Track. And what they're doing is they're giving like a real time insight into the DC government, and I think. Vivek Kundra may have had something to do with laying the groundwork for that, and so I'm very hopeful that we'll see very sophisticated dashboards over time at the federal level too.
Well, I'm certainly if people follow your blog and you're also your Twitter is Intellytics.
Yeah, at Intellytics is my
Intellytics
handle.
I see, but they can see it by going to my blog. They can see how to spell.
Yeah.
That word, which is hard to do. We won't spell URLs. I'm trying to get away from spelling them and just saying, here, go here, and you'll find the trail of crumbs. So, okay, let me go now to, let's see. Now would be the time for Bernie Lubrand to call in. He was waiting and listening offline or on his computer. And I can tell when he does, but until he does, then I just want to make sure that and other callers can call in at 917-388-4210. And I'm going to, like I said before, I'm going to put you, if you want, are you going to stay on, Tim? I mean, I can tell if you have to hang up, I can tell when you go away.
I'm going to stay on as long as I can.
Okay. Well, I'll be able to tell. If you're still there, I can tell. So I'm going to put you on mute, and and then I'm going to go back to here's Bernie. Okay. Now we'll go here. And Bernie Lubrand, are you there?
Yes, Stephen, I'm here.
Okay. Bernie, can you give a little introduction about who you are and your organization?
Sure, Stephen, be glad to, and I'm glad to be able to work out of the house so I don't have to have any anxiety about the next snowstorm coming to Washington. But anyways, my background is having spent 31 years in federal government, I did quite a lot of work with customer satisfaction, and
oh, you got the, just like on regular radio, right? You got to shut that one off.
Okay.
There is a, yeah.
There's a delay.
Yeah.
So, again, to go back to my career, towards the end of the Clinton-Gore administration, I was the National Director for Customer Satisfaction for the federal government. That's when the first ever customer satisfaction survey was implemented using the University of Michigan American Customer Satisfaction Index methodology. And that project has continued over the last 10 years with each year a number of agencies voluntarily participating and paying to have their customers surveyed and reported out publicly. And it's the only gauge of citizen satisfaction that exists to let the public know how satisfied and what type of a performance measure is available on citizen satisfaction. The results have been good. They've been gradually increasing over the years. And we're one of the companies that work with the methodology from the University of Michigan. We measure online customer satisfaction with government websites.
Okay. So I noticed that when I go to use the gsa.gov website, sometimes a little thing pops up that says 4C results and says, asks me if I want to take a little customer satisfaction survey, I guess.
That's it.
And it asks more than just one question. It just doesn't say, you know, are you satisfied with this website? There's a number of questions that it goes into, and in the same sense that the same thing could be, I guess, easily adapted or fairly easily adapted to ask other questions like relating to, do you feel you're being engaged, or do you feel you're, is this clear to you what's going on in this?
Yes, Stephen. Exactly. In fact, what we have begun to do starting about 6 months ago is to include a series of questions on our survey that asks citizens to rate their perception of transparency from the government agencies that we're interviewing. This was based on the directive from the White House in January of 2009 for open government, and we jumped on the initiative to devise a series of questions that will enable citizens to respond to how well they perceive the agencies that they're visiting are doing with respect to transparency. And that's something that we did a pilot study last summer, and we've expanded that to include several dozen agencies. And next Tuesday, the 16th of February, we will be releasing a much broader study, a research paper, that takes a look at the relationship between transparency, satisfaction with the agency, and trust in government. It's a very interesting relationship, and we'll be talking about it at the Open Government workshop on the 17th of February as well. So
okay.
I'm going to make sure that you get a link to the study and you're able to post it onto your website, blog site, so that your listeners can see the full report when it's released next week.
Okay. Well, I expect that, yes, that would be very useful, I would think, to bring up during the Open Government Directive workshop the following day, but we get to, because of the timing, I guess that would be very something that I would certainly want to look at and have someone from 4C Results come on Open Government Radio next Tuesday at 2 o'clock to talk more about that. And so that's very, very timely, and I'm sure it'd be very useful. I mean, from what you've told me, and I do want to point out that if people want to find out more about who is 4C Results and so forth, the very last link on my blog posting there will bring people to a webpage at 4C Results, which is might not be spelled how you think. It's forecsee results.com. But like I said, try to get away from spelling URLs here. But they can see there that it brings up a page that describes how 4C Results has been involved for years and years and years in this area. So, and also it gives, I want to make sure that people understand that federal agencies are already, like you said, are already using this service of yours. And if they go to the right-hand column, they can see a link there that says, view a sample list of federal government clients. And then that will pull up, like I said, some, let's see, that pulls up, I guess, CDC. Was that one of the ones you were, yeah. Center for Disease Control, CDC, Small Business Administration, NASA, IRS, some of the NASA, things like that. It goes on, and EPA. So
yes, so Stephen, we have approximately 200 federal websites that we're measuring.
Oh,
and
okay.
Because of the methodology that we use, we only survey a very small sample of visitors coming to a website, and that's why people may visit a particular government website which is using our service to measure satisfaction, but may never be invited to take the survey because it's delivered at random and only to a very small percentage of the actual visitors. And I wanted to add one other thing, and that's
okay, and then we're going to go one more point, and then I'm going to go back to the others, and we can all, and I'm going to go back to each person and see, get their impression about the dashboard, which is, I understand, the first version. And so, what I guess I would like to ask, you can think about this while I'm asking the others, but what you would add to the dashboard. But go ahead and make the point you were going to make.
Well, what I wanted to say is that the president of our company, Larry Fried, uses an expression that I think hits home for all of us in the performance management community, and that is you cannot manage what you do not measure. And for government agencies to throw up a lot of information, whether it's about open government or transparency or program information, et cetera, but to put that information out there and not assess or evaluate or measure whether or not it's the information that citizens are looking for, I think makes it a very challenging environment for them. And so that's what has attracted many of the agencies to survey and measure the experience online, because it's very easy to do and it helps them really understand how well they're doing in meeting citizen needs.
Right, right. If people are spending a lot of time on your website, is it because they really like your website or because they're lost? So, and that's why it really needs to be more than eyeballs or more than that. So anyway, I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to go back to the people before and try to get everybody's quick idea about the OpenGov dashboard. So I'll come back to you, Bernie, and ask you about that, but I'm going to put you on mute. And now I think Andy Krizmarczyk from GovLoop has been waiting, and I'm going to unmute him. And are you there, Andy?
I'm here.
Okay.
Thanks
well, you've been very
earlier today, Stephen.
Yeah.
And
well, I had noticed that you had been that you were one of the people, of course, being since Tim had posted his findings thus far on how things are going with respect to the citizen engagement tool at the various federal agencies that started on last Saturday, that you had responded to that. So I said, oh, well, maybe it would be good to alert Andy to that, and certainly because it was on GovLoop, I'm sure you'd like to point out that that's a good place to have discussions and so forth. But I'm going to go with the time we have left, I guess, is basically get a sense of, what do you think of the citizen engagement tool thus far and the dashboard as far as what it might need, or the good parts and the parts that you might suggest. So
I'm not sure that I can speak as much to that as much as I'll just, to be honest, I haven't had a chance to, look carefully at all of that. But I have been spending some time on GovLoop, and I'm pretty amazed, actually, at how much people are posting about the Open Government Directive. Just by my count, I'm in the forums right now, and, three or four of the, 10 topics that we feature there, one is from Chris, who you have on the show here, and he's talking about the team he's building for this Open Government, workshop that's happening next week. Sam Allgood posted about a couple groups that are dedicated to open government, and he posted some good information. And then what Tim posted this morning, what an exciting time. I feel proud to be at a place where, people can come together, look at best practices, we can take a look at some of the data in real time and talk about all of that and sort of be the continuous place before and after this workshop, to collaborate.
Keep things rolling.
Yeah, exactly. Keep the momentum flowing, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. It is a very exciting time for people like us who are, I guess, open government nerds or wonks or whatever.
Junkies, right? Trust.
Yes. My wife understands. Yes, she does. At least she says she does. And so that's what a good wife does. Yes, dear. I'm glad you're having fun. Anyway, but yes, I guess I'm like a lot of people are concerned that we don't get off track and that things stay as focused and as do as well as they can. Before I go on to the others, is there? Did you take a look at the dashboard?
Actually, so I haven't. That's what I was saying. But I'd like to actually ask a question of Bernie, if I could.
Let me pull in my head. I'm going to unmute Bernie there. Okay, I'm still playing with these. I got a dashboard right here in front of me on Open Government Radio. So go ahead. Andy wants to ask
Bernie. Can you hear
me, Andy? Go ahead.
Hey, it's great to be on the show with you. And so I've actually been meaning to write a blog post last couple weeks since you had your latest release of the data and the results of your survey. And one question I have in terms of just the transparency and sort of real time transparency. I may have asked you this before, but what's the possibility of sort of providing real time access to the data. So, for instance, let's say you go to a government website, you complete the survey, and then after you complete the survey, have been on other sites, you see immediately the survey results. For instance, even GovLoop has a little widget where, you respond to a very simple one-question survey, and then you can see where your response ranks as relative to others who've responded. Is there anything like that in the works? What do you think about the possibilities of that? What I would call it is real-time transparency. People are able to evaluate, provide their, perspective of satisfaction, and then they can see how others feel about that sort of in real time.
Andy, that's an excellent question, and I can tell you that we are actually talking to and looking for some agencies to pilot something where we would be able to, or they would be able to provide their data on a much more virtual real time. We don't own the data. We provide it to the agencies, and it's up to them to manage it. Now, I'll direct you to an excellent dashboard for presentation of data, and that's the cdc.gov/metrics site. Again, it's not real time. They do update their data, and it's not just satisfaction data, but information about most frequently visited pages and so forth, other metrics. They have made excellent progress, and I think they may be the first ones to move even further in that direction of providing more real-time data.
Wow.
Yeah, I do think they're the best practice example right now, aren't they, in terms of revealing their metrics?
That's my personal opinion. I think they have the best dashboard on web metrics in the federal government that I've seen.
Okay. I agree.
So the people, perhaps the OMB's Open Government Dashboard people should look at what CDC is doing then, which you said is at cdc.gov/metrics.
Metrics.
Okay. Good. Well, before we run out of time, I want to make sure we go back to the other people. So I know I'm gonna try to get their impressions about the people who have looked at the dashboard and see if they have coming to similar conclusions or they have different thoughts. So Andy, I'm gonna mute you unless you have. Is that it for now? Are you gonna keep listening or?
Yeah, I'll keep listening and eager to hear what others have to say.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Thanks for calling in. And Bernie, I'm just going to put you on mute too. And now I'm going back to Chris Jones. And Chris, now that you've been listening to all this talk, we have about 12 minutes left, I guess, on the show, but I wanted to make sure. Did you have a chance to look at that? Any thoughts you had on that on the dash site? On the dashboard?
Yeah, sure did. Do you got me? First of all, I was trying to catch up with Andy for the last couple of weeks. I finally caught up with him on the show, but he's muted. So.
You can.
It's all good. We're due for some coffee here and all. We'll catch up. It's good. And
okay.
Good to hear from him for sure. And I did appreciate the comments of both Tim and Bernie. I had very good insight. It's good to see. The feedback on the metrics. The measurement is absolutely critical. And I think Bernie, at least, I think I saw him signed up on GovLoop for the event next week. So hopefully I'll get to meet him. In terms of your question about the dashboard of the White House, I think it's a good structure. I think it's pretty intuitive. A lot of green lights, which I guess is good. But my first reaction was on the value column, high value data. I'm curious the degree to which citizens have weighed in versus having that be kind of an internal scorecard. I can kind of guess at the answer based on the state of the citizen engagement at this point. I don't know, so I should say maybe somebody else on the call knows, but I think the true value for something like this is when you have a very diverse, put the word customer in quotes here, but customer-driven feedback. And if the citizens are, receiving services and want to see certain data, it seems like they ought to be the ones that are kind of rating, the value. And I know both, Tim and Bernie were speaking to the ways to measure hits and traffic and clicks and that sort of thing. And certainly the qualitative aspect is important as well. So not knowing how the data was generated, it's not really, fair to rate it. But I'd want to make sure longer term, even if this is just kind of a first step, that the quote-unquote service recipients or the customers have a chance to weigh in on the value and quality and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So this is, it's very encouraging that they did, set up the dashboard and they self-tasked themselves to do that. And also, I should point out that they even included themselves, when I say them, I mean the Office of Management and Budget, which is part of the White House.
Right.
Along with a couple other ones, including the Office of Science and Technology Policy, which is where the Open Government Initiative began and is still a joint responsibility, I guess, between those two parts of the Executive Office of the President. So I applaud them for putting themselves in that position, which sounds like they would also have to have a they've also put themselves in the position of having to come up with an open government plan.
Well, that's great. You've got to have those guys on radar, too, if this is going to work, and I think it's an excellent step. One last comment. I've been talking too much. I want to let the other folks jump back in. But down at the very bottom of this dashboard, the criteria for how the ratings were established is listed. So, you know, there's a bit of a checklist approach. You know, if there's at least three data sets, okay, that's a meets. Registered at least one, that's progress. You know, so I think it's good that they've actually, you know, echoed what the criteria were. But again, I think the value of this really shoots up as you get into a much broader base of input. I'm pretty sure that's in the long-range plan, but it is good progress, and I think the fact that it's there and that it's, it seems to be working and it, you know, shows what can be accomplished and gets a good first step.
And I believe there is going to be some, supposed to be, according to the Open Government Directive, supposed to be some additional guidance released February, March, whenever, before April, I guess, on how to move forward, and I'm hoping that, of course, that'll involve some more nitty-gritty stuff about how to measure. So maybe they're figuring that out now. Maybe they're listening now and going, oh, this is all great stuff. At least that's the idea. Okay, well, I'm going to go back to see if, let's see if Tim is still listening, and Tim Bonneman, that is, and see if he has any thoughts about the open government dashboard. So, are you going to hold on, Chris, for a little while?
I'll listen. I'm good.
Okay. Tim Bonneman, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. And your assistant, is he there too?
Yeah, he's got my back.
Okay, good. Take it.
I don't know who said it. You can only manage what you measure, and I totally agree with that. With regard to the participation piece, I think it's going to be key to figure out what the right things are that we want to measure. And a lot of that stuff isn't really, I would think, is maybe a bit harder to measure than some of the transparency-related things that we'll see. And it's definitely going to be more qualitative data that we're looking at. So going to be a little bit more tricky. There's a this is not necessarily new. There have been decades of experience with doing public participation, and a lot of people know how to do it and what to look for and what to measure and how to measure success. But it'll be important to incorporate those insights into whatever the dashboard will look like.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm part of the reason for, of course, having the show is to share the knowledge, just another way of sharing the knowledge about different things. And, of course, this being about open government, that's why today's show, and I'm certain we'll be talking about this more, about, are we having the effect that we all want to have? And if that's, and I think that by and large, the open government involves public engagement, and that public, for those who believe that improved and increased public engagement in their government is a good thing, that we need to figure out if we're heading in the direction and making any progress, real progress, in that direction, or whether we're just deluding ourselves. It's the difference, I guess, between thinking you're making progress and knowing that you're making progress.
I can't find the link right now. I think there's a follow-up post on the OSTP blog, which may have been moved to a different URL, the one that I know is down right now for maintenance. But I think I saw a reference somewhere where they posted a follow-up to last December's post on how the dashboard should look like. So I'll send you the link. Maybe you can add it to your post.
Yeah, I can update. And for those who will be listening, I am going to add the CDC link. I'm going to update my post, my blog post at ustransparency.com, and so I can any link. Anybody else who was on the call today or wanted to reference that or something we talked about during the show can send me those links, and I'll add them for people who are listening later. So anyway, well, we have like just another whole 5 minutes here, so I was afraid we'd end up. What I may do now is, since people are still listening, I just want to make sure that before I unmute people again, and if they have any last thoughts, that I wanted to remind people that the last day to apply for the Open Government Directive Workshop on February 17th is supposedly the RSVP date. Deadline is tomorrow. I'm not sure how hard and fast that is. I would go, even if you're hearing this after February 10th, I would encourage you to go ahead and subscribe to the GovLoop. There's a link on the blog here about how to go forward and do that. So, and the other thing is, if you don't have access to the blog or whatever, you can still go to opengovplaybook.com, and it's right at the top. You'll see a link there about how to attend the OpenGov Directive Workshop next week, which I may or may not be. I might be the online. There will be an aspect we're working on so that people will be able to participate more fully online if you're not able to make it to D.C. But there'll be more details about that later, probably on next week's Open Government Radio Show. Okay, I'm going to unmute everybody, and not everybody talk at once. But if there's something that you were meaning to say, and there's a new caller from. Hold a second, everybody. I want to see who this new caller is from area code 301.
This is Bev Godwin.
Bev Godwin. Okay, great. Well, I'm glad you joined us, Bev. Anything in the last 3 minutes of the show you want to tell us about? That,
yeah, sorry to call in so late. We've been out of power and getting to a phone. But just wanted to encourage you, everyone, to go on to the open sites and the dialogue sites, and to give ideas for the agency's open government plans. And thanks, Steve, for helping get the word out about it.
Okay. Well, like I said, I might not come down to D.C. From Massachusetts next week. I might just stay here and be the online thing and see how the online team compares with what we come up with at the workshop versus the people who are meeting face to face. But we appreciate that GSA has joined us. Join the workshop as a partner, and hopefully that'll give the open government federal employees that they can get out of the office next week, assuming it doesn't snow again,
right.
And that their boss will let them go out because it's because GSA said it's a good thing. So I'm glad that things seem to be moving forward.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have just a little lady in my in my ear to say we have 90 seconds left, but was there, I did notice that Gwynne Costin is joining you at GSA. What's her role going
to
be?
Yes, she joined us, and together we're setting up a Center for New Media and Citizen Engagement.
Okay, it just keeps getting better and better, and just a matter of trying to keep track, but I'm still working out with this Open Government Radio, so it might be just another way for people to, just one more, quote-unquote, new media way to...
Yeah, that's great, Steve. It's a great effort.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in. I guess I'm going to tell people to join us next week. We're going to be telling more about the Open Government Workshop. Also, the 4C results, we'll be releasing a paper on Tuesday. And we'll be posting, if you want to keep up, then follow that at ustransparency.com. You can sign up to get information by email. So, good luck, Bev, with the new snow coming.
Okay, thanks. And everyone go give their ideas to the government dialogues.
Okay, thanks. See you later, everybody. Open Government Radio, over. Now, I'm wondering if...